from his masjid, even the one we are in today. All of us, we know, when we came here, or those who were born here, we started with the masjid of Alhamdulillah with Imam Abdullah Farooq. Alhamdulillah, he's a great leader, and we accept and we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give his rahmah, inshallah, and make him a good leader, inshallah.
Give me some dust.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum. Wait a minute, sisters, because the brothers, they can't even answer me. Assalamu alaikum. Good, I have a few Muslims in the house I'm happy to see and hear. I have, you know, I've been listening and having translated for me what the young men have been saying by Sheikh Muhammad. He is one of the hafiz in the Quran. How many people hafiz in the house? Raise your hand. How many have memorized half the Quran, at least? Raise, all of you raise your hands. I know the Somali community more hafiz than anybody else, at least from my standpoint. Very important three things I'm going to suggest to you tonight. Something that I believe young and old can benefit by. And we have a title up here. It says, how we can advance our youth socially and educationally. In a like manner, we have to apply this to the older ones too, and you young ones, but even the younger ones. You have to realize who you are and where you are. You true? With me so far? Why? You have three areas that you have to be concerned with. The first of them is what? You are Muslims. The second is what? You're Somalians. You don't know. You don't even know. I pointed him. He's Somalian. The third thing is what? You're Americans. Right. Now, if you don't take care of these three areas of understanding socially and educationally, then you're going to fail. First thing you have to know is the deen of Islam. Otherwise, you're fuel for the fire. Okay? You're like everybody else. If you don't take care of this deen, it won't take care of you, right? You believe that? How many of you came here by your choice tonight, and how many of you were forced by your parents? Oh, they took you here. You would rather be at home watching TV, I know, right? No? You happy to be here? Huh? Okay, good. This is what we want to hear from our children. Very important that we understand that our children want to be with us. They got to have that love and concern for what we are in love with and what we are concerned with. The first thing about being a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about us, kuntum khayra ummatan ukhrijat linnas. For three reasons. What are they? Ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah. Now you have these three duties, whether you are a Muslim, a Somalian, or an American. You still, if you want to be the best of human beings, you have to have these three things going on. And what are they now? To have the upholding of the right and the good. Because if you don't uphold what is right and good, then you are just like the kuffar. If you don't forbid what is wrong, then you're just like the kuffar. And if you don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're a kafir, definitely. So if you're going to be a Muslim, you have to either be first-rate Muslim or second-rate Muslim or third-rate Muslim. Which one? If you're going to be a Muslim, what kind of Muslim do you have to be? First-rate. If you're going to be a Somalian, what do you have to be? First rate. If you're going to be an American, what do you have to be? Okay. So this is simple. It's not like I have to come up here and preach to you. You know that you have no other choice but to be number one. So in this country of America, you have to outstrip everyone else. You have to be the best bookkeepers, the best, what do we do over here? He's a statistician. You have to be the best statistician. You have to be the best student. You have to be the best politician. You have to be the best businessman. If you're a boxer, you have to be the best boxer. Muhammad Ali, bam, 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 okay? There's no area of our human life that you can be second rate and expect to be successful in this life, fi dunya wa fil akhirah. So when I come up and I tell you, in alhamdulillah, I'm showing off a little bit of Arabic, that's not the most important thing. Because many of you understand, have read the book from cover to cover, and we have Hafiz Quran, Hafiz Quran, Hafiz, Come on. We have enough Moshiach in the house to rock the house. You don't have to worry about it. If I get up here and I make a mistake in reciting the Quran, you think that you're going to let me get away with it? No, no. You've memorized the book and you come from a country where they have produced tens upon thousands, hundreds upon thousands of people who have memorized the book. But look at your country. We've got to bring the negativity now. Look at your country. You're handsome people. Your women are beautiful. They're covering themselves like no other women. Because I go to a lot of meetings and I see their women, they don't cover like these women. So you have the best women. And you've memorized the book from cover to cover. But there's another aspect for you to pay careful attention to, and that is understanding the book and acting on it. Because if you don't understand it and you don't act on it, then you're just like a parrot or a computer. I can listen to Sheikh Bassett or Sheikh Minshawi on the computer reciting better than you. But what good is it? The only kind of Islam that's going to benefit us here in America in these three areas, whether we are Muslim, Somalian American, or in my case African American, is the one that we put into activity. And the one that we do with a love and consideration so that our women are cared for. And just like I had to ask the young man, slow down now, don't stop the salah, because the women haven't had the chance to get upstairs. Everything has to be considered. I can't protect your women. You have to protect your mother and your wife and your daughter and your children, right? True? And I have to protect mine. And the same methodology, the same knowledge that you use and apply to your life, I have to apply to mine. Right? So far? Any disagreements? No. So, you don't need a big lecture. You young people who have come here today, the ones that are under 25 years old, you in the front, then he's about 30. 30, right? 30? Okay, I can pick him up. All of you have to take this religion to be a real thing. There's no way in the world that your mother's and your father's religion is going to make you successful. The religion that's going to make you successful is the one that you adopt. You adapt and you utilize in your life to keep you clean. Know this, that they are here not to, there's no way that this religion is going to survive unless you make it survive in your life. They're not here to promote, this building was not built because they love us. Know that the Jews were trying to stop us from building this building. Know that there's some people who don't even want you in this building. Know that if you're going to survive in this America as Muslims, it's going to be on your shoulders, on the Shabab. They're worried about you going to blow something up. No, they should be more worried about you building something. Building more masajid. Building colleges and building hospitals. And building schools. This is their worry. What they're doing now to play Somalia, to try to bring Somalia to its knees, and to target you as terrorists, is a weak game. They're just looking to make you afraid. But rather than being afraid, the shaja'a, the bravery should come out of you now and find out, well, what are they afraid of? They're afraid of you coming to this country and showing them what this country should be. That's what they're afraid of. They're afraid of you for there to be a real Hussein in the White House. This is what they're afraid of. We have a fake Hussein in the White House now. Because he's really not Hussein. The only way you can be a Hussein is to be a Muslim. So he has the name, but he doesn't have the game. And I'm looking for, in the future, sometime soon, for there to be a Somalian president. Now, you weren't born here, were you? Were you born here? No. But he could be the president. Were you born here? Yeah, he was born here. That's our next president. And all of this, and all of what you are doing right now, is to establish a platform to help him understand these three areas. How to be a good Muslim, a mu'min, a Muslim. How to be a good Somalian. How to be a good Somalian. How to be a good Somalian, which is second rate. And why do I say that? Because being a good Somalian, the only way that you can be a good Somalian is to be a good Muslim. They say that 99% of the people in Somalia are Muslim. If there's any people in the world that have no excuse for not being successful in this life, it is you. But you've had the religion for how long now? 1,400 years. What was the first Muslim in Somalia? What's the oldest masjid in Mogadishu?
And 1,000 years. About 1,000 years.
Huh?
The first masjid they said about 1,000 years.
About 1,000 years. I don't believe that. I believe that there were Muslims in Somalia probably, or maybe 100 years after the Prophet Muhammad. I believe that. Let's say that. 1,300 years. 1,300 years of Islam, and now you're just arriving at the capital of Islam. Did you know that you are in the capital of Islam? Because the United States is the most powerful country with the richest resources. You have all that you need here to make this a living reality, right? Huh? So there is now absolutely, after this 1,300 years, you arrived. I'm glad you're here to save America. This is what you're here for, to save America. Say it. We are here to save America. That's right. Why? Because this country, if you leave, it's going to be minus 500 Muslims. And how would this country survive now if it doesn't undertake Islam as its leading force? As the thing that's going to make it live up to its responsibility of being one nation under God? How can it be one nation under God without you? Who's going to run General Electric next? Who's going to run General Motors? I think some other country bought General Motors. We don't even own that anymore. So that's all. But who's going to run America? If it's not you, then we're going to leave it back to Bush, and he'll take care of it for you, and he'll bomb you into the dark ages. That's what he's doing. Either you take over the reins of authority for America and advance the cause of our youth socially and educationally, or we're going to put the fool back in the White House. So now, when we talk about social and educational development and excellence, it means that we have to educate our children. Can you leave it to the kuffar to educate your cousin, your young brother? So that means that we have to build a what? Okay. So now, if we want the best health care with the lowest rates, what are we going to have to build? A mustashfa, a hospital. If you want the most honest electrical company, then who's going to do it? If you want the best children, then our wives and our families have to be protected. So the best families are going to have to come from who? Okay. Any lies so far? But you can stop me. I'm not just here preaching. This is going to be an interactive thing. Tell me what you would suggest that I would bring up that we have to do. Because this is a weak thing. I'm an honorary Somali, you know. I was born in Boston, but that's part of Somalia. I think everybody in Boston is Somalia with the crowd I got here. So now I want to make this thing here interactive. What are the three things, the three areas that we need to focus on? Islam, Somalianism, and Americanism. Okay? If you don't take care of each one of these areas, if you women don't pay careful attention to who you are and where you are, and if you don't maintain your hijab and you don't maintain your Islam, then your daughters will be kuffar. As they slowly convince you that certain things are okay, then you will let your daughters do other things. But you have to understand where you are. You are no longer in Mogadishu. In all likelihood, you are in maybe Mattapan. So, if you're in Mattapan, then you're going to have to understand this religion for where you are. Just as you have to understand this religion for where you are. The second two, America and Somalia, are only geographical locations. The first one, your Islam, the thing that makes you the best among humankind, is the most important. So it takes knowledge, but it also takes thick understanding and hikmah, wisdom, about the application of the religion that you've had for now for 1,300 years. So the most important thing for you now is what? Understanding. You have to acquire knowledge in order to have understanding, because you can't have wisdom and understanding without knowledge, ilm. But there's another type of knowledge that I want to make mention of for you tonight, a word that I'm certain most of you are aware of, and that word is called ma'arifah. Say ma'arifah. Ma'rifah means to be acquainted with a thing. To have the kind of a association that is experiential. You know what experiential means? It means you have an experience with it. Okay? So, like I tell the little boy, I said, you know, don't touch it, son. Ahmed, what's your name? Huh? Hamza. I say, Hamza, don't touch it, it's hot. He's 3 years old, he doesn't know what hot is no more. Two. He's 2-1. I say, don't touch it, Hamza. It's hot. Hamza, I turn my back. Hamza puts his hands on it the way children do. Hamza burns his hand. He screams. I put some cold water on it. I put a band-aid. Next time I say, Hamza, hot. Hamza says, hot. Hot. Why? Because now that's an experience. And in the lives that you are living here in America, you are covering yourselves, doing the things the best you can to be Muslim women. Huh? You're identifiable. I know that the brother's here. Sometimes you're going to leave here now, you're going to take off that coat, that thing off your head, you're going to put on your jeans, going to high school. You walk like that. You got even got to walk just like the African Americans, going like this, you know? You know? And some little black girl's going to say, he fine. You know? He fine. And you know, you Somalis, you got kind of, your hair's not really, some of you got real nappy hair like mine, and others got kind of straight hair. Oh, he got good hair. You're going to say, he got good hair. But they come themselves all the time. They can't go incognito. You know, sometimes I see the guy one time. He's at the mall. My wife and I were shopping. He came around the corner. He had a cowboy hat on. He had cowboy boots. He had the big silver buckle and the tight jeans. I saw he must be Mexican. He turns the corner. Just as he turns the corner, I see his wife and family come around. She has niqab on, all black. Two little girls, all black. They have niqab on. I didn't even know that they were with him until a little girl came over and grabbed the back of his jeans. So you can go in and out of Islam. You can hide. You can shave your beard. Our women, there's no hiding. They're the brave ones. They're the one holding the banner of Islam here in America. My wife and your mother, my wife and your wife, they are holding the banner of Islam. I don't know you're Muslim. Well, I thought he's Cuban. I don't know, no beard, no nothing, you know, shaving, you know. Everybody can hide here in America. And let it be known that you don't always dress like this. I don't always have this stove on. So, the important thing about education comes in the hands of the women who nurture and protect and engender, means to build into their hearts and the minds of the little ones, the understanding of the love that is between a woman and a child. And so they require our protection in order to do that job. There's a very, very important job that goes in what is called nurturing. And as long as you're willing to get out there and work and do the job that is necessary to protect the women while they do their job, and as long as you are obedient to Allah and to your husbands, and as long as you maintain the balance that is necessary for the life that we have here in America, then the job will be done. When it comes to education, know that it is more than the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Education has to be in every quadrant of our lives. I'm always wondering why, since we have had the banner, we Muslims have had the banner of Islam and the banner of knowledge in our court for so many centuries, why haven't we produced a cop? Why are the non-Muslims advancing so tremendously in the field of science and we are languishing in their footsteps, following them? And the mistake comes now, we follow them not only in their science but in their social values that he was talking about earlier. He was talking about social values and ideology. In order for us to maintain the social and the educational values, then we have to know that our ideology is not found in America, and is not found in Somalia, it's found in Dar Islam, the ideology of Dar Islam, the abode of Islam. But know that this understanding, this nebulous Dar Islam that so many people are always talking about, is not some far off land behind the mountains on the other side of Tajikistan, high up in the Himalayas or something. Dar Islam begins right here and now in this room. Dar Islam, the abode of Islam, starts where? In this room? In the hearts of everyone that is here. And unless you have the ideology and the love for it and understanding that there has to be a new world created, otherwise the world that we are living in will be destroyed by disbelievers. While they try to control your lives and your minds and your hearts and the minds and hearts of our little ones through the television and through the media, what's your favorite movie? You don't want to tell me. You want to tell me? Okay, no favorite movie. No. You like them all, I know. Okay. Come on, hold your head down. It's all right. I seen you with the earphones on. I ain't gonna say that. Okay, listen. So the media has a hold on our children, and the influences that used to be here in America that had the strongest influence used to be the family. The strongest influence in America on the growth and development of children, according to psychologists, used to be the family. Second was the church and the school. Third was peers and television media. This was a scientific study that was done in 1965. They recapped the study in 1980, 15 years later. They wanted to know what was the principal influence on our young ones. What was first? Still the family. Still the family. Second was the school and the youth. They recapped it in 1985, a 20-year span. The principal influence on young ones is other young ones, peer influence. Second thing, media. Third thing, school. Fourth thing, home. Fifth thing, the church. If you stay in this country long enough, that same statistic will apply to you and your children. Whereas your family is in control of things now, you're pushing them along, you're pushing them, not leading them, but pushing them along, you'll find that while you push them along, someone along the way will say, Hamza? Huh? Huh? You say, Hamza. Someone along the line is going to whisper to Hamza. And hopefully it's me, because this is what I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Somebody's going to, come here, don't go anyplace. But somebody else is looking for Hamza right now.
Say that's cool, baby. That's cool, baby.
Somebody's going to teach him that's cool, baby. So now either you're going to have, each one of you are going to be imams, you go sit down now, thank you. Each one of you now are going to be the imams so that they don't urinate into our children's ears with this rap music. Okay? If you're not going to be the imam who has now uncle so-and-so teaching him La ilaha illallah, and then he's getting La ilaha illallah for his mother, and La ilaha illallah from his uncle, and La ilaha illallah from the school that he goes to, and then the after school program is La ilaha illallah, then somebody's going to say, that's cool, baby. And that's what's going to be in his mind. So know that the media is there to help try to make crooked our children's thinking. It's even whispering to me every day. Of course, I'm 62 years old, I'm ready to die, so I have my sword out every day, trying to make it to fashion. Every day I got my sword out. I tell the kufar that I got my sword out. I don't have time to play games with this life as a Muslim, African American. Why do I say African American? To help you to understand how important this is to me. To know that I have a cultural root that goes back to Africa. Of course, I'm not from the East Coast like you guys. I'm from the West Coast. They had to take me out of Ghana or Timbuktu, or maybe out of Nigeria or something. You know, I'm a West Coast guy. But if I don't hold on to that, then I'll be walking around saying, how are you doing, Bob? The last thing I want to do is be like Bob. I want to be like Bilal. This is my honor, to know that I have a culture. You know that the Italian Americans, when they come here, they hold on to what? The fact that they're Italian. Anything wrong with that? No. They can look in the mirror and say, mamma mia, you know? And some of you guys can say it too in Italian, I know. They dominated you for a while. The other thing is when the Irish come here, they still talk with an Irish accent. Hmm? And even after years go by, they still eat Irish food even when they've lost their accent. The last thing that I want you to do is to lose your Somalian culture. But I'd rather that you lose your Somalian culture and hold on to your Islam than to think about becoming this and wallowing in America. America has a lot to wallow in. You know what to wallow means? It means just to roll around in, you know, just enjoy it so much so. You got a, who has a flat screen? Raise your hands. There you go. I knew you could beat me to it. I had one too. Somebody came back and took it. I think I didn't pay the bill or something. I had a flat screen one time. Anyways, what I'm trying to get to, that if you want to save yourself socially, then you have to create what? Society. This is what this program is for. So that you can get to see your faces, so that you can know how many Somalians there are here in Boston. To see how well educated you are, to see how well that you are thinking and examining your problems between your parents and the young ones, how much I'm encouraging the young women here to hold on to this deen, no matter what, because you know, there's a lot of invitation out there for you to go ahead and, you know, you don't have to wear a full scarf here, hijab, you can just wear the little turban, and you can wear the tight skirts, you know the tight skirt you wear? And you don't have to put on a jilbab, you know, you just put away the tight skirt. It's long, but it's tight so that everything can be seen. You know what I'm talking about, right? So I want you to think about that now. The garment has to be what? Loose? It can't be, just because it's covering, it can't be tight. Isn't that one of the, right? One of the requirements? That it can't be like, right. Can't be like that, right?
Right.
So I see everybody. I'm the king of Roxbury. So I walk through Roxbury and I see everybody and I see you coming and going. This is my advice for my sisters. Take them tight skirts off. It's like I'm telling the young men, you want to develop a society based on Islam, you can't wear tight skirts. Can't happen. Am I right? You brothers got to stop wearing them tight jeans. Come on, you can laugh if you want, because I've seen you. The other, because, you know, tight jeans are back. They used to be the baggy ones. A lot of you wear your pants that they're hanging off your, like, you know, you don't like, you forgot your belt. So the rest of your anatomy is showing. I know, because you come there and you pray. And sometimes I let the brother lead the salat, and I'm there, and I said, oh, I wish I'd never let him lead the salat. Because he forgot his belt. If you imitate the kuffar, you're like the kuffar. Know that these pants that you find dragging on the ground, the ones that, you know, drag with the dirty cuffs, this is the African-American jailbird. He just got out of the jail. He didn't have a belt. They gave him they wouldn't give him a belt because he's afraid he was going to hang himself. So he gets out with the government jeans, and he couldn't afford a belt, so he's walking around with his pants hanging off of it. That became the style. So everybody's wearing the style of a jailbird. Oh, there's so many things wrong in America, and I'm so glad that you've come, because you're going to help me change things. Won't you? Now, how are you going to do that? Huh?
You start with yourself.
That's right. You start with yourself. That's who you start with. But what are we going to do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these last things. I want to say them in closing. I don't have very much time. I see him winking at me. Number one, Allah says, Ya yuladina amanu. That's you, right? You believe, right? Ya yuladina amanu is talking to you, right?
Yes.
Talking to us, right?
Yes.
Say, Ya yuladina amanu. Allah. Fear Allah. That's number one. Because if you have that fear of Allah, this understanding, this abiding consciousness that there is a God, and you keep that in the forefront of your mind, because it says the dhikrullahu akbar, and it saves you from fasha'i wal munkar, from doing dirty things, the salah and the remembrance of Allah. And you know that the salah is made for what? For the remembrance of Allah. Well, keep a salah li dhikr. Okay? So if this is the case, that the salah is there to help you remember Allah. And the dhikr of Allah is the greatest thing that can ever be in the mind of a human being. Because that's, you know, dogs and animals, they don't do dhikr. They will go by instinct. You have a mind. So you have to do this consciously. So the establishment of the prayer is made for you to remember Allah, and you do that regularly. But between salah, you have to do dhikr as well. And the dhikr, the best of the dhikr is the one that leads you to taqwa. Knowing that Allah is the only one that can save you. So while we're walking through the streets of America realizing that we are Muslims, first, that you are Somalians, second, and that you are Americans now, third, you have to have the remembrance of Allah, because that will save you from the blazing fire in everything that you do. SubhanAllah. So far it's very easy. Then, and I'm on my way. After he tells you to cling fast to the rope of Allah, he tells you, وَلَا تَمُتُمَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Don't die unless you're a Muslim. That means you have to be Muslim all the time, because you don't know when you're going to die. You know that, right? You don't know when you're going to die, right? It could be any time, so you have to be Muslim all the time. He tells you, وَتَصِمُوا بِهَبِّ اللَّهِ جَمْيًا وَلَا تَفَرَقُوا. Cling fast to the rope of Allah. By myself, huh? All together. It begins with an evening like this, that you're clinging to the rope of Allah all together. We've prayed together, you've heard good advice. It's 4 years now that this center, I think headed by Yusuf, and it used to be, what was it, Imam before? Abdul Razak. Now, these are your leaders. Imam Musa is over there sometimes. Brother Muhammad, he's here too. You have your leaders. You have your religion. Now what you, and you have your instructions. Next you need is a strategic plan. You know what a strategic plan is? It means that you have the strategy of saying, what are we going to do? What do we have to understand what priorities are and sequence? What is the most important thing and what should we do in what order? Now this is not for me to teach you about this here tonight. Because strategizing is not something that's supposed to come from the outside, rather it's coming from you. And you have to sit down in circles learning how three areas work. How does Islam work? How does our Somalian mentality work? And how does America work? And there's no way that you can have a strategy unless you know these three areas. Because if you think that you're going to come here and leave your Islam to try to become an American, you strategize how you're going to make business, you're going to put your money together, you're going to buy this, you're going to buy that. Buy, because that's what you are ending with consumers, then you have no strategy. If you use the strategy that you've been using as the Hawiya and the Dawood, and like you've been using all that, you won't win. Because you've already lost. I already know, I got my friends right here in the audience. I know somebody who knows me 20 years, she gave me the whole story. Okay, 20 years ago. I said, I don't see it happening. She said, well, let me start. Sit down, Imam. I wasn't the Imam then. Am I right? Mary, yes. I said, sit there. She said, well, there's the Harud, the Dawiya, and there's the, she gave me about three or four. And I sat there like this here, sitting there, and I said, and everybody knows the Quran? Everybody knows the Quran. Now, I had only been a Muslim for about 10 years back in 1990. I was only a Muslim for about 10 years. I could not figure out after I met her and a number of people, Muslims, who were the best people I had ever met. How could we be failing now? How could we lose Somalia to the Italians? Why? Because you argue amongst yourselves. So, this happens in a house when the husband and the wife argue about things that are clear. Either the man is overbearing or the wife is non-submissive or something's happened. So the first thing you have to do is to realize that the woman that you are married to, or the one who bore you, your mother, the womb, what are come, is somebody to be honored. And in like manner, you women have to honor the men who are supporting you and who love you. And then you have to realize where you are. What are we going to do? Because the best of strategies begins at home. And if you don't have a strategy for your home, it's going to have a heart, or if you have a strategy that's in the masjid, but it's not in your house, it's in the masjid now, but it's not in your home, in your relationship with your woman or your family, then you don't have no strategy. Okay, so where does it begin? It starts with you, it goes to the home, it goes to the masjid, and it goes back around that circle. And then it begins to broaden so that the school has the same strategy and the same ideology, and you build by putting your money together. This is the way that we bought our center, am I correct? They put their money together. So tonight we're actually doing a fundraiser. How much do we need tonight? No, he didn't ask me to do this, but really, this masjid, if everybody gave a dollar, we'd probably have $1,000 or $2, we'd have $1,000 for this masjid. It costs them $60,000 a month to run this masjid. It's going to cost them $15,000-$20,000 to run that masjid a month. So, education and your social life costs money. Wait, am I right now? Dollar bills. You gotta put your money together. You gotta put your money where your mouth is. You memorize the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Anfiq. He says, spend. And you say, yeah, well, here's a dollar. I got 19 for myself. No, you give half, or maybe at least 20%. The minimum 20%. Why do I say 20% is called the khums? You should now, because this is how Iran became successful. They demanded the khums from the people. They put up 20% of their money to make the thing, to make the operation go. And why is that good for us? Well, I tell you why. Because the Christians are only commanded to give a tithe, which is 10%. So we're going to outdo them. You should cut out 20% of your total salary to give to the religion. Not the 2.5% sadaqah or zakat, zakat al-mal. But you should cut out another 17.5% to give to the masjid. Take beyond the 2.5%, listen to me. Because social life and education take what? Money. Your religion takes money. And nobody's going to build your masjid for you. Nobody's going to build your schools for you. So after all that you've done, you should take on a second job and get that 17.5% and give it to the masjid. If you don't give, you can give some old masjid, I'll take it till we need it. Give some to this masjid, and especially take care of Boston Islamic Center. Masjid al-Taqwa, the Boston Islamic Center. You know, they have the Islamic Center of Boston out in Wales. I don't know how it got there. They took our center and moved out in Wales. Now he's at the Boston Islamic Center. He just changed the words. I call it Masjid al-Taqwa. Okay, so now you think Masjid al-Taqwa, they got a little piece of a place up the street here on Washington Street that they're renting. How much are you paying a month?
$3,000
a month for a dump.
Only the rent.
Only the rent. $3,000 a month for a stinky place. I've been there. Still my masjid. But we have a brand new building. And we're thinking about doing some great things for it for you. Am I right? So, every time you see Yusuf's face, just go right in your pocket. And he'll be walking around with a box. No, this is important. I'm having fun. Because I'm your friend and your brother. Most of you know me? Huh? Okay. I'm not here begging for Masjid Alhamdulillah. I'm begging for Islam. I'm begging for you to hold on to the rope of Allah, and I'm begging you to spend in the way of Allah. This is not a fundraiser. He never said anything about it, but I'm just telling you what are the facts of life. Not in America, but in the world. That if you want success, know that the disbeliever, they spend their money to make their programs run. These homosexuals, they have programs. These gay rights. They're being advanced in the schools. And they spend money advancing their program. Don't think that the sword is going to have any effect here in America. No bombs are going to have any effect in this country. No machine guns and no tanks. We are fighting a spiritual and an ideological war. And the only way that we can get our program across is through spending, from I said, min anfusikum amwalikum. From your souls, your time, your effort, and your money. And if you don't spend your time and your money to make this religion advance, know that they will take it from you. As a matter of fact, right now, there are some people right now who want this religion more than you. Some little white girl in a college, when she finds out about it, they're going to take it by the reins and they're going to rule this religion. And I'll be happy for them too, as long as they're Muslims. But don't think that you are the best of mankind just because you came with your turban or your kimar, your niqab. That does not much makes you the best. Only how much effort you put into it. So I don't have much more to say. I'm so glad that you invited me, Yusuf. And I know that we do need money for this operation. So if you give $1 to the masjid here, know that you should give $2 to Masjid al-Taqwa. And $1 to Masjid al-Taqwa. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I'm going to give a $10 prize. If somebody will tell me the oldest masjid in Mogadishu. Not you. Too old. I got the answer. I went online.
No, that's too old.
No.
Don't say it loud. Don't say it loud.
Anybody know?
That one, little. That one.
Oh, you.
With the scarf. With the scarf. No.
Okay, scarf. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, you.
You. Yes.
No? You
said Abdulaziz.
Abdulaziz, no. This one is. That's good? Hold on.
Fakhruddin Mask. It is the same one.
Same one?
It has two names. It's Fakhruddin and also Abdulaziz.
Okay, Fakhruddin Abdulaziz. So now that you know that, come here, boy.
Yes.
Yo. You can't believe it. Oh yeah, this is better than Jeopardy. Come on, you got it. Whoa, congratulations, Takbir. So the oldest masjid in Mogadishu. Now I see, you got to know this yourself. Every one of you should go online. I got this Wikipedia. The Fakhruddin Mask, the oldest masjid in Mogadishu, Somalia. It's located in the... Be quiet.
Okay.
In what area is it? And what part of the city?
No, it's where...
Amarwain.
Yeah, right. Come on, man.
I told you I would be a Somalian before I leave out of here. There you go. Okay, thank you so much for having me, and glory be to Allah, and peace and mercy on His Prophet, and all the follow people who follow Muhammad. And I hope that we, all of us tonight, are included in Muhammad. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jalaluhu wa la ilaha illa anta wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
JazakAllah khairan, Shahadana Farooq. And we wish you to stay with us more, and we never get enough of His. You know, funny and encouraging words. And I told you, as I said, the youngsters, the teens, children, who understand him more than they understand their parents. That was the truth. So, Alhamdulillah, Ma'amdala, Jazakallah khairan.
I want all of you to study the history of Somalia so much so that there's nothing that I would ask you that you don't know. Because one of the failings that we have socially and educationally is you'll know more about America in a few years. You'll know more about American history than you know about Somalia. Do you understand what I'm saying?